to my doctor, and the doctor said, "Hey, got bad news for you. Your blood work doesn't look right, and I need to go send you for an exam." I went to see a doctor, and the doctor did an exam on me, and he says, "I don't know how else to tell you this other than you have cancer." I don't know how many of you have heard that word, you got cancer. But I went home and told my wife, and she melted and fell down right there and started to cry. And she said, "No, Lord, this can't be happening." And she began to pray with me, and we were going in for a biopsy. And she says, "We're going to pray together, and we're going to believe that that is not cancer." Well, guess what? They went in and did the biopsy, and it was cancer. See? And then she said, "Okay, let's pray that when they do the operation on you to remove the cancer, they get all of it." Okay? And so her and I prayed. And as we prayed, she said, "I just know, honey, when you go in, God's going to remove this cancer from you, and you're not going to have cancer anymore." Well, I go in there, and they do the operation, and they cut out all the parts that had the cancer in it. And the doctor gave me a fist bump and a high five and says, "Praise God, he didn't say praise God, but he said, "You're cancer free. You're a cancer survivor." Okay? He said, "Now we're going to do blood work to make sure the cancer is all gone." Calls me and he says, "You better bring your wife in. I need to talk to you. You're not cancer free. The cancer has spread, and now you're stage 4 cancer. And it's now in other parts of your body." And my wife looks at me and she says, "Hey, I'm mad at God. I just knew the first time God was going to take care of it. I knew the second time God was going to take care of it. I knew the third time God was going to take care of it. But here I am still with cancer." Okay? And I don't know why it happens. It just happens. So, praise God. I don't know how many people in here have been praying for me. I get text messages, I get cards, I get all kind of things says praying for you. I got one the other day that says, "Hang in there." Jeannie said it to me. We're going through this together. If hanging in there were an Olympic event, we'd be gold medalists, right? Well, this week, I went to the doctor, and they did all of my scans, and the doctor calls us back in, and he says, "Hey, I want to show you something." I said, "Cool." He says, "Here's your first scan, and here's where the cancer was, and here's where the cancer was, and here's where the cancer was." He said, "Let me show you your new scan. Remember over here where there was cancer? Guess what? There's no cancer there now." And over here, there's no cancer. And where this big one was, it's now half the size. It's going in the right direction. And then I look over at my wife and she's crying and I start crying and say, "Man, isn't God good?" So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you are my God. Not in my timing, but in his timing. So thank you for all the prayers that have gone up. Thank you for continuing to pray for me. The old devil is in retreat, and so is this cancer. And God is going to have the victory in this, and there's going to be a testimony
that comes
out of this.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Now, I just want to share with you one more thing. I have a friend of mine. His name is Adam. And about a month ago, he was with his son at a swimming pool, and they had an above-ground swimming pool. And he slipped off the rail and fell onto the ground and landed on his feet and crushed his L10 vertebrae and cut his spinal cord. And instantly, he could not move, no feeling or control from the belly button down. They took him to Youngstown. Youngstown tried to help him. They couldn't. A day and a half later, they take him up to Cleveland Clinic. And the doctor says, "Man, if you'd have got here within 3 hours of your accident, I could have done something for you. But because it's a day and a half later, I'm going to go do what I can. But you're going to be paralyzed from the waist down for the rest of your life." thing. I talked to him on Saturday, and he said, I have full control of my left leg again. My right leg is starting to move. And the doctor says I'm a walking, talking miracle. God is still in the miracle business.
Amen.
His hand has not been shortened.
Yes, he is.
And he still wants to do what only he can do. So I would encourage you, as we get ready to pray up here, man, this is your time. If you got something, you aren't going to get an answer unless you come up and ask.
That's right.
And when you come up and ask, you got to ask in faith, believing.
That's right.
And you got to keep asking. He says, when you ask, be like the widow who goes to the magistrate. Don't stop asking. And the widow kept going to the magistrate and asking for her request and asking for her request. And the magistrate says, hey, if I don't give her her request, this woman's never going to quit coming. And that's the way we should be with God. We should keep coming and keep coming and keep asking and keep coming until he answers.
Amen.
So thank you, Father. So Amen. I just want to pray real quick before we get everybody down here. And then, Sue, I'd like you to keep playing, if you would, please. Heavenly Father, thank you. There is none like unto you. Oh, Father, somehow we get disappointed when it doesn't happen our way and it doesn't happen in our timing. But, Father, you're still God, and you're still on the move, and you still are performing miracles, and there still is nothing impossible for you. So, Father, I thank you for touching Adam. I thank you for a complete healing in that young man's life. I thank you, Father, that the doctors are amazed. They said, we did all we could, but we can't fix him. But, Father, you fixed him, and he's doing better because of you.
Thank you.
And, Father, I thank you that all of us are scared of that cancer word. But, Father, you're bigger than cancer. And so, Father, I thank you for the healing in my life. I thank you for your hand being upon me. I thank you for these faithful men and women in this church who cease not to pray day and night for me, Father, making intercession along with me, Father. And I thank you, Father, that you still hear and answer prayer. And so, Father, thank you for hearing and answering these two prayers. But, Father, thank you right now as people come forward today to have their needs prayed for, that you're going to meet those needs as well, Father, because you're still in the miracle business, Father, and nothing is impossible for you. So, Father, thank you for your spirit being here this morning. Thank you for your healing touch being here. And thank you for what you're about ready to do right now in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
All the people said,
Amen.
Amen.
If that doesn't encourage you to come forward, I don't know what will. What Pastor Chip is talking about is God's truth, which is true for every single one of us.
Listen, anybody know what today is? All right. You guys sound like you believe that today. Every day is the day the Lord's made, and every day we should just get up and rejoice about what God is doing in our lives. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord again today? Listen, let me pray before we get started here. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us so much that you held nothing back from us. Father, it says you looked down from heaven and you saw our need and you sent your son Jesus. You sent your very best to take care of our need. Oh, Father, thank you for having that kind of love for us. Father, thank you for being that kind of a heavenly Father. And Father, you didn't quit there. After you gave us your son and he did all of the things that he needed to do for us in suffering on the cross, shedding his blood, giving us forgiveness of sin, you gave us your word. You gave us this instruction manual so that we could have life and have life more abundantly. Father, you give us everything that we need. Father, you are all we need. In you is found life. In you is found wisdom. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now thank you, Father, that we can get together this morning and we can get into your word and we can get into that wisdom, Father. But before we do, Father, we just want to stop, say thank you, and then say, Father, open our ears, open our eyes, open our heart. Help us to be receptive to the things that you're saying to us today. Don't let us try to justify what we're doing in our own mind. But Father, let us hear from you today. And let us remember that you love us. And when you speak to us, it's because you love us. And when you ask us to do something or change something, it's not because you're being mean to us. It's because you love us. So, Father, help us to surrender to your love. Help us to surrender to your will and your way in our lives. And when we go out of here today, Father, let us be able to say, man, it was good to be in the house of the Lord today. So, Father, you have your will and your way in this service today. And we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And all the people said, amen. All right. Last week, I started in something called the glue. Anybody ever put anything together and you get stuck in the glue? My wife and I buy some of that furniture. You know, it's some assembly required from time to time. You ever get any of that stuff? I don't know why they say some assembly required. You know, it takes me about 4 hours sometimes to put that some assembly. Sometimes they got glue in there. And you ever get stuck to the piece or get your own finger stuck together? I mean, it's crazy when you get stuck in the glue. I mean, glue sticks and glue works. And God gave us some glue. And it's when we get in and mixed up with the glue that things stick that should stick. When we get rid of the things that we shouldn't have and we bring into our lives the things that we should have, the thing that makes them stick is the glue that God gave us. And I want to talk today a little bit about that glue again. And I want to slow down a little bit. I went home this past week and my wife says, you went too fast. I said, okay, what happened? She said, you went over all the other stuff again and you took too long going over all the other stuff and you didn't spend enough time on the glue. She said, I think you need to go back and spend more time on the glue. So guess what I'm going to do today? We're going to go back and we're going to talk about the glue. Okay? So if you go to my first one, and this comes out of Colossians 3 again, and it says here in this one, and this one strikes me as odd, okay? But I want to tell you what this means to me, okay? It says, don't tell lies to each other. Huh? What do you mean, don't tell lies to each other? Okay, so I'm going to do something here. I'm going to show you something. Okay, I'm going to go up here and I'm going to say, hi. How are you today? And what's the response I'm going to get? Good. Good. Are you really good? You're really good. Huh? But how many times have we said, hey, I'm good, and I'm not good? Come on. How many times you got something on your mind or on your heart? And somebody comes up and says, how are you doing? And you say, good. You came to a meeting one time. And if I would have asked you how you were, you would have said good, but that very week you were going in for surgery. And you didn't get a chance to tell me that. The Holy Spirit revealed that to me, and we got a chance to pray with you. And because we knew you weren't good and we got a chance to pray for you, what happened?
I can raise my hand and praise the Lord.
Without surgery, she got healed. Okay, so here, when we say, how are you? It not to open up and start whining and complaining, but we need to be truthful with one another. If you got something bothering you, you need to be able to say, it bothers me. And then you know what we need to be able to do is say, good, you know, I had that same thing happen to me, Bill. And here's what I was able to do, and here's how God got me through it. So when he says, don't lie to one another. You know, whenever I ask my father how he is, you know what he always says? Fantastic. He ran his hand through a table saw one time. He's all bandaged up. How are you? That fantastic. We need to be honest with one another. And if we got something that's bothering us, if we got an issue in our family that we need somebody to talk to, when somebody comes up and says, how are you? We need not to lie one to another. We need to be able to say, hey, can you pray with me on this? You know why most of us don't do that? Because what we say can and will be used against us. And so if we got an issue going on in our family, and I come up and I say, hey, you know, I'm really not doing so good today. I got something going on with my family. Can you help me pray with my son? He's got this issue going on in his life right now. Now, what should happen is this gentleman here should take that and just pray for me, and I should pray with him, and we should do that. But you know what happens today? Oh, Matt, did you hear what's going on in Pastor Chip's son's life? And it gets spread all over the place. So then the next time somebody comes up to you and say, how you doing? What do you say? I'm fine. Because we don't want to say anything other than we're fine. So we lie to one another. Now here's the other thing I want to talk to you about. Anybody know the story of Ananias and Sapphira? They said, hey, no, we believe in God and we've surrendered our life to God and we're sold out for God and we're on fire for God and we see everybody around us is selling all they got and they're turning it over to church to meet everyone as they have need. And so him and his wife got together and says, hey, we're going to go sell a piece of property. But hey, honey, you know, that property is worth a lot of money. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to sell that piece of property. And we're going to keep part of the money back. But we don't want people to think we're not on fire for God and all in like everybody else is. So what we're going to do is tell everybody we gave all the money. But we're going to keep a part back for ourselves. And we want everybody to think that we're on fire for God as much as those people are. But you know, this is a lot of money. And if we keep some of it back, we can use it for ourselves. And we worked really hard to buy that piece of property, so some of it's ours. And Ananias and Sapphira, they hatch this plan. And they go out and they sell this piece of land and they come in and they come in proud and they come before the disciples and they say, hey, here, we sold a piece of land and here's all the money for the land. You know what the apostles and disciples said? Why do you lie? And Ananias fell down dead. Huh? So listen, if we've got something holding us back, if we've got an issue in our life, if we've got some undealt with unforgiveness, if we've got some undealt with hurt, anger, jealousy, whatever it is, and we just come in and say, no, we're fine. We're good. You know what we're doing? Lying to one another. And as long as we lie to one another, are we going to get any better? No. I don't want to be like Ananias and Sapphira. And Sapphira comes looking for her husband. Says, hey, where's my husband? And they said, did you sell a piece of ground for this much money? Uh-huh. And did you give us all the money? Uh-huh. And they said, why do you cook up such a plan? It was yours to begin with. Don't lie. If you're only half in and you only wanted to give us half the money, tell us that. Give us only half the money. The people who carried your husband out and buried you are now on the way in to carry your body out. She dropped down dead. And great fear came over all of the church. Okay? So listen. We can lie to one another besides the way that we normally think about lying. Okay? We can lie about how we really are, about really what's going on in our life and what's holding us back from getting turned on for Jesus the way that we should. And when we get real with ourselves and we get real with others and we get to the place where I can trust you to hear what's going on in my life, then we can pray one for another. And then we can be healed like it says in James. Okay? So, when we lie to one another, That's the way it was in what life? What life was that like when I lied all the time? My old life, with all of its wickedness, and that did that sort of thing, okay? That was a hard one to get out, I'm sorry. So listen, here's what I'm going to tell you. We come up here, we give our heart and life to Christ. We say, forgive us, Father. And he says, okay, I'll forgive you as you forgive others. You can work on this unforgiveness chip, work on this anger, work on putting on love, do these things. Okay, and then somebody comes up, Bill says, how are you? And I said, fine, but I'm still not dealing with the anger right way. I'm not dealing with the unforgiveness the right way and all the other things. And I say, I'm fine. You know what I did? I just took the defibrillators and I stuck it on my old life and I'm bringing it back to life. If we want to get to the place where we kill the old life, we got to have truth in our life and we got to be truthful with one another about where we are in our walk with God. Okay? Don't be like we were in the old life. No matter how I am, oh, I'm perfect. No, there are times that I'm not perfect. There are times that I need to say, hey, I got questions. Hey, I got this issue. I got this health issue going on. And praise God, all you guys rallied around and prayed, and praise God, the Spirit of God moved and his healing touch is working in and through me. Hallelujah, right? Now, I ain't going to lie to you. Was I scared? Oh, yeah. Was my wife scared? Oh, yeah. When the very first time we went in and says, hey, you got 3.5 years to live. And it was like, what? Man, when you get news like that, it's like, what are you talking about? I'm not old enough. And then the guy comes and he says, hey, I got good news with this treatment. I think we can get you another 5 to 10 years. And I'm supposed to be happy with this. I said, my father's 85 or 87. My grandfather died at 95. I'm only 62. And you think 5 more years is good? I'm happy for the 5 years, but you're cutting me way short of where I need to be. And the fear comes in. I won't lie to you. The fear comes in. Fear naturally comes to us. What helped take away the fear is all of you praying. My wife praying for me. The cards and the letters that people sent. The text messages. Knowing that you guys were on your knees praying for me helped me get through that. So I'm here to say thank you. Oh, man, why is he your pastor? He was afraid when he had cancer. Yeah, I'm human. Huh? Come on, let's get real. None of us tear off our shirt and there's an S underneath here. We're not supermen. We're human. Amen. We cannot lie to one another. Temptation comes to us from time to time. Amen. And if you say, no, I've never been tempted and I've been able to overcome every temptation, I think you're a liar. So don't lie. I have a weakness. One of my biggest weaknesses is chocolate. But we all have spiritual weaknesses as well. And he says, confess your faults to one another. Pray one for another that you might be healed. Healed of what? Healed of your faults. Help one another overcome those things. Don't lie to one another. Okay, go on to the next one for me, please. Your old life is what? So when temptation comes, that's the devil getting them old defibrillators out, warming them up, trying to shock that life back into me. And when I lie about it, and when I try to hide it, I'm resurrecting the old dead life, and I'm not moving. But now it is dead and gone. So if the old life is dead and gone, I got to start doing something different to allow the new life to come alive in me. Would you agree to that? Do you understand what I'm saying? All the old thoughts, all the old ways, all the old actions, they got to go away because they are dead and gone. Okay, so the next slide, please. You are living a... Oh. So when I came down here and I gave my heart and life to Christ and I surrendered all to him, he says, gone is the old life. Now I am going to give you new life. And you walked away and you were perfect. Come on. You walked away and you were perfect. You were the same as you were before. You're just forgiven. You still got the same thoughts, the same actions. You still got the same problems. And what he says is now you got to put on some new things that we talked about before. And we'll talk about those again in a minute. And you got to take off some of the old things and get rid of them. And he says, now I'm going to give you the opportunity to have this new life. And now it's up to you to choose whether you take it or not. You're forgiven. But now if you want this new life, you've got to do something to get this new life moving inside of you. Jeter, it's like your neighbor when he's blowing all his leaves and grass clippings into your yard all the time. Huh? And what do? You blow them back, right? You just go out and smile and rake them up. Now, the old Jeter would have done what? Huh? Yeah, yeah. Poked him in the nose. That's it. You got it. But because that old life is dead and gone, now the neighbor's blowing all his leaves and grass into your yard, and now you have a choice. You can resurrect the old man. Get them defibrillators ready, because here comes the anger. Here comes the wrath. Or you can decide to put it off and put on the new life. And the new life says, well, thank you. I could use some of that extra in my compost pile in the pack. Thank you for being so kind to give that to me. And you could go pick it up and put it in the woods, in the back, or wherever you're going to go with it, and not let it bother you. You see, if we're going to let the new life come out, then we got to let the new life come out, and we got to get rid of the old. And he says, you are living a brand new life that is continually learning more and more of what is right. So when I give my heart and life to Christ, I get up off this altar and I know everything that's right. I know exactly how to act. I know exactly what to say. No. It says, how long is it going to take for me to get it all right? Continually. So do I have it all right yet? No, and I'm not going to lie to you. I don't have it all right yet. Anybody that says they understand all this and they got it all right, I want to meet that person. I think I got it right. I got to stop lying to you and to myself and say, hey, I still got a lot to learn. We get together on Sunday mornings, and I'm usually the last one in there. Marvin, Vern, Bill Rumpel sometimes when he's in town, and we had a new gentleman in there, and we sit in there and we talk. Well, this is what I think this means. No, this is what I think it means. No, this is what I think it means. You know what we're doing? We're still trying to figure out what's right. Now, the big things, we know what's right. We know the things we got to stop immediately, but guess what? We're still continually learning. You know, tomorrow, I better learn more of what's right. I better be better tomorrow than I am today. How do I do that? One way is to get into church. Get into church and hear the Word of God. Another way is for you to get into the Word of God and read the Word of God so you know the difference between right and wrong. But when do we stop learning? Never. I stop learning on the day I graduate. And on that day is when I stop learning. Until then, oh, I think I got it. I know that one. I used to love my grandfather's Bible. Every word was underlined, every word was circled, and every word was highlighted. What the heck you do that for? Well, grandson, when I was first in my walk with Christ, I read it. It was the milk of the word. And I read it and I got this from it. And so I applied that to my life. A little later on in my walk, I got a little older in my walk with Christ, and I read it again, and it meant something else to me. So this time I highlighted it, and it was the meat of the word. And now that I'm old, grandson, and I've walked in this thing a long time, I look at it and laugh and say, I thought I understood what it says, and I didn't get it right either one of the two times. But the neat thing is God never gives up on us. He's continually teaching us if we let him. If we let him. If we let him. If we let him. He said, in the last days, men will flock to hear what they want to hear. They have itching ears to hear, not the truth, but what they want to hear. And the problem with that is you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you're doing something and you like it, and you don't want to stop doing it, even though you're being convicted about doing it, what you want to do is go find somebody that'll tell you what you're doing is okay. Now you ain't learning what's right anymore. You stop learning, you stop changing, and when you stop changing and you stop growing, you begin to do something else. Die. That's right, Marvin. You do one of two things in life. You're either growing or you're dying. And when we stop learning and we stop continually improving, we begin to die. You know what our job is? Is to make sure we continue to grow until we graduate. And we need to not lie to ourselves and say, hey, I don't have this all understood yet. I need more. I need to get into the word more. I need to get into church more. I need to be able to ask the elders or the pastors more. And many times I got news for you. We're not going to have the answer right away. But we'll go find it together. Because we can learn together. Okay? Go to the next one for me, please. And what's it say? I love this one. And you're what? We're learning constantly, and we are to be what? Oh, boy. Well, how am I going to be more like Christ? If I want to learn to be like Christ, I better learn all I can about Christ. You know, I love it when I see my grandson. I'll ask him anything I want to know about the Browns or the basketball team. And boy, that boy knows every player, every position. I mean, this boy is studied up. He knows every trade that's happened. He's talking about the trades that are about ready to happen. And that boy can tell you everything you want to know about the Cavaliers and the Browns. Now, I pick up the Bible and I'll ask him about a scripture, and you know what I get? Papa, what's that? So if we're constantly learning who Christ is, then we can be constantly trying to be more and more like Christ. But if we're not learning, okay, the other day I was in an airplane. I'm in the co-pilot seat. And the pilot says, here, Chip, you fly. And to fly, you don't do anything. You sit there and you turn a knob and you do this, you do that, and you do the other things. And I flew the airplane. Okay, I've done that all my life. I did it with my father, and now I do it still today. But I've never gone to school, and I've never learned how to fly an airplane. But I can fly an airplane. In an emergency, I can fly an airplane. Am I a pilot? No, why not? I don't have a license. And I don't have a license because I've never studied to become a pilot. And then in order, once I study to be a pilot, I got to put in lots and lots and lots of hours before anybody will give me a pilot's license. You can be a co-pilot for a long time. You can sit in the other seat like I do. But in order to sit in this seat on the left-hand side, you got to have practice and you've got to have studied. How many of you want to go get into an airplane with a person who says, I read in a book how to fly an airplane, and we're on our way to Florida. Come fly with me. Nobody. But what do? Hi, I gave my heart and life to Christ and I'm a Christian. Come grow with me. And if we haven't put the work in, if we haven't studied to show ourselves approved, if we don't know who Christ is and we're not continually learning every day, and we're not trying every day to be more and more Christ-like, practicing to be, you know what I like? It says, I'm the practice. You know why they call it practicing? Because we never get it right. You know, right now my grandson's in football practice already. They started already. And they go back to the old things they learned last year and they practice over and over and over again until it becomes routine, fundamental. We should be getting into the Word of God and we should be practicing and practicing and practicing the Word of God until all that comes out of us is Christ-like. And if we're not, then we're not doing what God's asking us to do and we're lying to one another. And you know who I just lied to? Myself. When I came up here and I got down on my knees at the altar and I said, Lord, I surrender all. I want you in control of my life. I want you to be Lord and master of my life. And then I don't go out and learn about him and I don't go out and change my life to be more like him. You know what I just did? I lied to myself. I know I need this. This is my get out of jail free card, but I'm still going to go out and live my life the way I want to. And then this confusion happens in my life and this turmoil happens in my life because I'm not surrendering. I'm still lying to myself and everybody else comes up and say, how you doing, Chip? Oh, man, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm awesome. My dad's fantastic and I'm awesome. I can't be exactly like my dad. But really, I'm lying because I am not doing this. I'm not constantly learning and I'm not constantly trying to be more and more like Christ. And guess what? Christ is the one who created this new life where? So if I don't know Christ, I don't know about the new life that's in me. The more I know about Christ, the more I know about the new life that's in me. I saw the movie. I know there is. I saw the Passion. I saw the movie Son of God. That's enough, right? I know who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. So I'm going to try to be like that. No, it says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. How do you get the mind of Christ? By getting into the Word of God. Okay, so go on to the next one. In this new life, one's nationality or race, I want you to see this plainly. This is the Living Bible translation. It says, in your new life, it doesn't matter who you are. Nationality, race, education, social position, all this stuff that the world thinks is important. You know what God says? It's unimportant. Such things mean nothing. Come on. Such things mean
nothing.
Correct. But you see today how people will do the craziest things trying to get their sons or daughters into this college or that college. They'll bribe the admissions people. They'll do all kind of things, trying to get them ahead in this world because they want to be able to say, my son graduated from this college, or my son graduated from that college, or my daughter went here. She's got this degree or that degree. You know what all that stuff means? It means nothing if she dies without Jesus. And so what he's trying to remind us of is, all of this stuff that the world has to offer means nothing. And it doesn't matter if I'm white or if I'm black. It doesn't matter if I am educated or uneducated. It doesn't matter where my social position is. None of that matters. It's all unimportant. Now let's go see what the only important thing is. Go to the next slide, please. Whether a person has Christ is what matters. Whether a person has Christ is what matters. And guess what the good news is? What's that last one say? And he is equally available to some. He is an equal opportunity God. All we got to be willing to do is surrender our life to him, accept him into our life, and then read about him, practice to learn more, and then practice to be more like Christ. And when we do that, then we're getting it right. And now we're not lying to ourselves or to each other. All right, so go to the next one real quick for me. Since you have been... Oh, my golly, I want you to raise your hand right now and say, I am chosen. Okay, now I want you to think back to when you were younger. Did you ever play kickball or baseball or football or anything where all the neighborhood gets together and they go around and say, Bill, I'll take you, and Andre, I'll take you. Oh, no, not her. I'll take Glenn, and I'll take Matt. I've been there. I got passed over. I know what it feels like not to be chosen. How about you guys? Ever not get chosen for something? It don't feel good. I got news for you. You have been chosen. God hasn't skipped over any one of us. He's chosen each and every one of us. God himself has chosen us. And not only has he chosen us, but he has given you this new kind of life. Now, I chose you, Matt, and I give you this. Okay? Now, I can give you something. And if you get it and you just hold on to it and put it in your pocket and you never use it, so here, I say, here's $100, Matt. And you say, oh, my golly, Chip gave me $100. And you go home and you put that under your pillow. And when you die at 95, they come pick you up and that $100 is still underneath your pillow. What good did it do you? None at all. God gives us a new life. And unless we begin to walk in it, unless we begin to use it, what good is it? We got to get rid of the old. We got to say, Lord, I am sorry. I don't want to have anything to do with the old. Give me that back before you put that in your pocket. I seen him getting his hand closer and closer to his pocket, you know. And he was saying, oh, Chip, don't worry. I'm going to use it. Huh? He has given us this new kind of life. How many of you know when you give your heart and life to Christ, you have a new life? It's up to you whether you accept it or not, or whether you put it on, or whether you use it. Go to the next one, please. And because of his deep love and concern for you, you should practice tender-hearted mercies and kindness to others. Next. Don't worry about making a good impression on them, but be ready to suffer quietly and patiently. Next. Be gentle and ready to forgive, never holding grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you. So you, okay, so go back one for me if you can. Can you go back one? Don't worry about making a good impression, but be ready to suffer quietly and patiently. Okay, how many of you guys have ever been in here and anywhere, not just here, anywhere, and you look up and your neighbors come and says, uh-oh, Jeter says, uh-oh, here comes the guy that blows the leaves in my yard all the time. Oh, no, I hope she's not coming to see me. I know every time she comes to see me, oh, Lord, help me. It's not going to be good. Or I have a grudge against somebody, and I see Matt, and when I see Matt out of the corner of my eye, instead of going up this side of the aisle, see he's on this side, where do I go? I go to the other side. Am I ready to suffer quietly and patiently? Am I holding grudges? If I truly forgave Matt, and Matt truly forgave me, then I would be looking at him the same way I did before whatever offense came in between us, whether I caused it or he caused it. And I would be coming over and looking for him and shaking his hand saying, Matt, how you doing, man? And I don't want to hear you're okay. Tell me you're not okay. Tell me. Okay. They're not okay. Good. What's going on, dude?
A lot of things. I don't know where to start.
A lot of things. You don't know where to start. Oh, my. Here we go. Now I'm looking for the other side of the exit again already. But he said I should be ready to suffer quietly and patiently and listen to what Matt has to say and then be an encouragement and then pray for Matt and encourage him, knowing that one day the seats will reverse and I'll be over there and say, oh, man, you can't believe the things I'm going through right now. I just need somebody to talk to, and I don't want that person running for the exit either. You understand what I'm saying? So go to the next one for me, please. My wife's going to be mad at me again because I didn't get to the glue yet. Huh? I did not get to the glue yet. I'm going to get glue poured on me and feathers when I get home. Be gentle and ready to never hold. How many of you have ever held a grudge? You didn't take advantage of me because I knew how to get even. Okay? Remember, the Lord forgave who? Me. So when you feel like it, forgive others. I must forgive others. Okay? Go to the next one, please. I'm almost to the glue. Honey, I'm almost to the glue, honest. Most of all, let what? The most important thing we can do is let love do what? What's God? God is love. And so the more we know about God, the more love we got in our life, the more we let God lead us, the more we're letting love lead our life. So you see, if we're not constantly learning about who God is and who Jesus is, then we don't know what love really is. And then we can't let, most of all, let love guide your life because we don't know what love is. God is love. And to know God is to know love. If I don't know God, I do not know love. So if I want to let love guide my life, I got to get in and I got to really study who God is, who Jesus was, what his life stood for, how he acted, what his word says, how I should act and what I should do. And then I got to let it come in and change my life. I got to start putting it on. And as I start learning more about who God is and about his love for me and I understand how he forgave me, then it becomes easy for me to forgive Matt or Matt to forgive me. Because I understood how bad I offended God. While I was yet his enemy, he died for me and he chose me. Matt's not my enemy. We just have a disagreement. And if I can't forgive him, then I really don't understand who God is and how much he loves me. Because he said, while I was yet God's enemy, he sent his son to die. I could have forgiveness of sin. Now, when I get the knowledge of God in me, I know who God is, and I'm trying to be more Christ-like, and I'm learning more and more about Christ. Then I can let that glue come together and let it guide my life. Our problem is we jump from the altar, and then we go try to love people, and the problem we get is we don't love them the way God loves them. We love them the way we want to love them. Ever been there? I'll tell you what you need in your life, Matt. I need to give you some tough love. And over here, we're going to give you a different kind of love. No. God says, don't let there be any quarrels among you. Go to the next one, please. If we get into the place where we know God and we're continually learning about him, we're continuing to be more and more Christ-like. I want you to see this glue part. I'm going to close right here, okay? Because I'm not going to keep you over today, I promise. Right? Oh, maybe 2 minutes, okay? If we know who God is, and we're trying to imitate God, and we're putting this into practice, it says, then what? Then the... not this little click over here, and not this little click over here, and not this click over here. And Marvin, I'm going to pick on you for a minute, and I don't mean this to come off the wrong way. John's shaking his head, wow, it went over me. Not the black people over there, and the white people over here. Not the Hispanics over there, and the English over here. The whole church comes together. Why? Because we love one another the same way God loves us. And we forgive one another. And then when we look at one another, you know what I don't see? I don't see black. He doesn't see white. Maybe he does. I'm not sure. Hair. It's the hair. Maybe he sees hair and I don't see hair. When I see Judy, I don't see anybody other than somebody I love who loves me. We exchange text messages. You haven't done that in a while, by the way. I got to remind you of that, okay? I must not have had a good sermon in a while. In the old days when I'd have a good one, she'd text me, so I must not have had a good one in a while. I don't see anybody but a fellow sister in Christ. I don't see a rich person. I don't see a poor person. I don't see an educated person. I don't see an uneducated person. I don't see a white, a black, a Hispanic, an English, or whatever it may be. What I see is somebody that's a sister for me in Christ that I love the same way that God loves me. And when I get that kind of love, guess what? The whole church. Because guess what? Nobody's different. We're all the same. And so the whole church will stay together in perfect harmony. Now, I won't go flocking to fellow long hairs like Kurt back here in the back, okay? Huh? He got a ponytail. I sometimes wear mine in a ponytail. So him and I are the only ones that are going to get into heaven, right? We got the long hair, okay? We're the good ones here, okay? We're the ones that are still hanging on to the 70s, okay? And we and I can relate because we got something to relate to. That's the 70s. No, what we relate to now is God who loves us. And we rejoice in the love that God has for us. And then I don't see anything other than a fellow brother or sister in Christ. And then we can dwell together in what? And we will stay. You know what glue does? That love, to know God is to know love. That love is what will cause the church to stay together in perfect harmony. Now, I'm going to give you this last one. And John and Kathy, will you make your way up there? Okay, I'm done. I'm promised. I told you 2 minutes, but it's seven. I'm screwed up again. They're going to fire me. I know it. I know it. I know it. Okay, look at the next slide, please. And then it says, I then have a choice. When I understand and I follow love, then I can let the peace of heart that comes from Christ be always present in my heart and in my life. I can't get the peace until I walk in the love, until I got that glue, okay? But I have to let the peace come. I can choose to still be angry. I can choose to still hold the grudge. Or I can let the peace come and I can accept the peace and let go of the grudge. Okay? Go to the last one for me. I think this is the last one. For this is your responsibility and privilege as members of his body. And always be thankful. So it is my responsibility and my privilege to always be looking at John. Not as a song leader, not as a fellow white person, not as somebody that's of the same political party. I just look at him and say, man, I love you.
Amen.
You're my brother in Christ.
Amen.
And all I see is my brother in Christ.
I got
okay?
it.
Mm-hmm. And that is my responsibility, but it's also my privilege to be able to do that. I'm responsible for making that happen, and you're responsible for making that happen. And it's also our privilege for making that happen. And then to be thankful. You know, I asked them to come up and close with this song. And I'm going to ask them to sing a few verses. And then I'm just going to ask them to sing it twice. And then I want you to keep playing. I want to say a few things, and I want to sing it one more time, okay? All right? Yeah, Kathy's like me. She's hearing impaired. John goes to interpret for me, okay? There's a song that says, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me. Man, he says that we should always be thankful. So, John, lead us through this twice, will you? Gave us. Oh, Father, it would have been enough. It would have been enough, Father, just to have our sins forgiven. It would have been enough to know, Father, that our sentence had been commuted from death unto life. Oh, Father, but you didn't stop there. Father, you said, I give you life, and I give you a new life. I give you my word. And I give you my son as your example. And Father, you call us after your sons. You call us Christians, which means, Father, that we're to be Christ-like, that we're to be striving to be more and more like him. And in order to do that, Father, we got to know more and more about him. And Father, we got to get more and more of your word in us. And Father, if that wasn't enough, Father, then you gave us your love. That love, Father, that we can't even begin to comprehend. And then, Father, you said to put on love and love one another and to forgive one another. And so, Father, thank you. that you've held nothing back from us. So, Father, as we sing this one last time, Father, oh, Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, that you saved my soul. Thank you that you made me whole. But thank you, Father, you delivered me from my old wretched life and you gave me a new life. And you gave me the instruction manual that teaches me how to use this new life and to get all I can out of this new life. Forgive me, Lord, when I forget to study the instruction manual and just start pushing the buttons and try to use it without understanding who created this new life. But Father, thank you that when I get into your word, I understand all about this new life. And I all understand about this new love that you gave to us, Father, and what that means. And so, Father, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you have been doing, and thank you what you will continue to do. And Father, as I sing this one last time, I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you for making me whole. Thank you for everything you're doing in my life. John? Father, for your word this morning. Now, Father, let it sink deep into our hearts and our minds, Father. Let it have its way in our life today, Father, as we continually learn about you and as we continually try to be more Christ-like, Father. You have your will and your way in our life, Father. And, Father, thank you for your spirit showing up today. Thank you for the lives that were changed. Thank you for the lives that were touched, Father, today. And Father, thank you for allowing us to come together and celebrate you. And Father, we just give you the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, you are dismissed.